Good evening, everybody. It's so lovely to see you all here tonight for our sort of candlelit carol service. We have got some candles. You might have spotted them as you come in, and they will be lit as we sing our first carol in a few moments' time. So if any of the other lights go out, please don't be worried. It's supposed to happen. If they don't go out, do be worried. But well, hopefully it'll be fine. It's lovely to see you here, as I said. It's our penultimate Christmas service, really. Carol service tonight, then Christmas Day in just a couple of days' time. But lots of people are looking forward to that. Yeah? Lots of people looking forward to be woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning by their wives or their husbands. My daughter's 34 and she still wakes up silly o'clock on Christmas Day. And I think even her kids have started to say to her, "Mum, just leave us alone, we want to stay in bed." Anyway, that's by the by. Just to explain a couple of things that will be happening. We won't be announcing anything particularly as we go through. So just for a cue for you, if you see words for a carol appear on the screen, that's your opportunity to stand up and join in. Of course, you might also notice the musicians actually getting ready as well, which will also be a good cue for that. After the service, we've got teas and coffees, as you would expect, and also mince pies, if you like that sort of thing. And those of you here this morning, when I said we had mince pies this morning, we didn't have. I'm really sorry about that. But I know there are some tonight, so you won't go without. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn off as many of the lights as we can now. Thank you, Caitlin. And I'd like you to imagine if Instagram had been around the time of the birth of Jesus. Thank you, Alistair. We'll be right back.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
seated. Thank you to our ukulele group. Always looking for new members. If you're interested, please see Esther afterwards.
Reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks in the night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the peoples. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. To you, he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom favour rests."
From Luke 2, verse 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Bethlehem Police Department, Daily Bulletin, date obscured. This is a briefing for Operation Census. Substantial numbers of migrants arriving at the border during the past week. Limited community tension reported. No incidents of note. Large crowds expected in Bethlehem this evening. No intelligence regarding any pre-planned disorder. Terrorism threat level remains severe. 12 officers on duty. Roadworthy chariot in for repairs. No replacement available. 1400 hours, start of shift. Two PCs to fixed post at main town checkpoint. Two PCs to ongoing crime scene at Herod's Palace nightclub. It's next door to Caesar's, but a bit rowdier. Two PCs to constant watch in the cells. Remaining officers out on foot patrol. 1,500 hours. Routine patrol on Bethlehem High Street. Town centre crowded, but peaceful. 1630. Called a civil dispute in the foyer of the Judea Travel Lodge. Apparently a misunderstanding regarding a double booking of two suites. Situation deteriorated as it became apparent that there were no other rooms available anywhere in the neighbourhood. Couple leave peacefully. Mother is heavily pregnant. Two other suspects became violent. Two arrests, we've given them a room for the night here. 17:15 hours. Suspect detained for theft of wine from Bethlehem Brasserie. Evidence consumed prior to police arrival. Suspect unfit to be interviewed until tomorrow morning. 1800 hours. Reports of a possible UFO sighting. Claims of a bright light moving east to west at height of several thousand feet. Area searched, no trace. Possible nuisance call. 1830 hours. Multiple calls to a disturbance on a hillside a mile outside town. Reports of strobe lighting and loud music. Initial suspicions of an illegal rave. On arrival, met by a gang of shepherds and a large quantity of sheep. Shepherds claiming to have been visited by angels. Despite lengthy inquiries and the hillside search, no sound system or lighting equipment found. Thorough search of the shepherds revealed no evidence of alcohol or illegal substances, not even a spliff. Initially threatened the shepherds with arrest for wasting police time, but settled for a verbal warning when they explained that they were leaving anyway. Shepherds last seen running towards Bethlehem town centre. 1900 hours. Call from Judea Border Patrol. They've stopped a group of travellers who claim to come from afar, have yet to establish where this is. The three who appear to be in charge are well-dressed and claim to know something about the earlier UFO. Search of luggage has revealed a quantity of gold and two containers filled with aromatic and suspicious-looking resin. They claim it's not dangerous. Inquiries ongoing. 2015 hours. Update from the Border Patrol. Traveller is able to prove ownership of the gold. Resin turns out to be something called myrrh and frankincense. Checks confirm that they are not a controlled drug. Allowed on their way. 2100 hours. Call to a believed child protection issue. Reports of a newborn baby being cared for in wholly unsuitable circumstances. Apparently in a stable, surrounded by livestock, and with no heating or running water. Unmarried teenage mother with no obvious means of support, aside from someone claiming, without documentation, to be her betrothed. On arrival, found early a group of shepherds in the street outside. Initially threatened to arrest them for obstructing police. Then they saw the expression on their faces. Decided to see for myself what was going on. I've walked this beat for more than 20 years, and I've seen most things that the line of work puts your way. But I have no words to describe what I saw last night. No arrest necessary. No explanation adequate. But everything is different now. By the time you read this, I'll have finished my shift. If you have any questions about this report, you'll find me at the stable door.
Bye.
seated. I'm guessing that everyone here tonight has a television in their house or access to TV broadcast programs, whether that's on laptop, tablet, or any other device that you might have. So I'm guessing that everyone's seen the Christmas adverts for this year from the major retailers. It's become a bit of a thing, hasn't it? It's almost the thing that marks the start of Advent or even the start of Christmas. And even a competition amongst the bigger stores, although it seems that John Lewis seems to win that particular race every year. If I'm honest, my favourite one this year was the Waitrose ad. Oh, I got some people who agree with me. Wonderful. Whoever thought of putting Joe Wilkinson and Keira Knightley together in that advert? Absolute genius, and more of that in a moment. I was quite struck also by the Tesco adverts. And obviously, perhaps I ought to say, even though it's probably taken for granted, other adverts for other stores are available and have been shown on TV. But the Tesco adverts make a really bold claim this year, saying that the things that they're offering us are what makes it Christmas. I don't know if you've seen them, there's lots of little ads, and then there's one really big one, which gets quite funny at one point. But let's unpack it a bit. So you've got the scene of the Christmas dinner, and I guess it's the grandma who comes in with the big turkey, and everyone at the table is silent. Little bit of an atmosphere. And we discover that Grandad had an opinion. If it's not granddad, it's normally that awkward uncle, isn't it? Or in my family, it's normally me. And so, according to Tesco, family arguments or awkwardness over dinner is what makes Christmas. Then they go on these obscure traditions. You've got to have chestnuts. Who eats chestnuts any other time of the year? I don't know of anybody. Oh, there's always a couple of weirdos. Thanks, Kev. And then visiting people we barely know who live just across the road because it's Christmas, and we don't visit them because they're a bit odd the rest of the year. And when we visit them, we're greeted by three dogs running down the stairs dressed up in Christmas jumpers. That's what makes Christmas, apparently. Or that awkward family situation where you've got the Christmas photograph to put on your Christmas round robin letter or email. Most people email them these days, don't they? But there's still that awkward photograph with the brother and sister not wanting to get too close and don't want to touch each other. Oh, he's touched me, and stuff like that. Boom, another argument. According to Tesco, that's what makes Christmas. Writing letters and cards to people you have nothing to do with the rest of the year, but you feel you've got to send it just in case they send you one. Or by this time of year, desperately finding a card to send to someone who has sent you one that you haven't sent. And my favourite, the Christmas games. And the Tesco, this is brilliant this year, because I don't know if you have seen it, but it's kind of like a Pictionary game. There's a big circle with lots of dots on it, and there's the two brothers arguing over what it is, and just the argument gets more and more heated, and then it ends with the great phrase, "Well, Mum loves me more than you anyway." That, according to Tesco, is what makes Christmas. Lidl puts some more positive spin on similar things. Talking of Christmas as a time when we think about others more than ourselves, enjoy being with others more than usual, and so on, ending up saying every day has a lot to learn from Christmas. And then, of course, John Lewis. I didn't really get the John Lewis ad this year, to be honest. But that little byline at the end, if you can't find the words, find the gift. That's quite nice. But to go back to Tesco. After all, they're open 24 hours. I'm afraid Tesco are wrong. The things that they show in their adverts are not what makes Christmas. They are things that might happen around Christmas, but if that's all Christmas is, then I'm not sure we would look forward to it as much as so many of us do. And actually, there's more to Christmas than being with family, because we can spend time with family at any time of the year. And sometimes it feels like Christmas, we must. What Christmas is to do is about, it is about giving gifts. Because at Christmas we remember the perfect gift. Not a relationship with Keira Knightley, although many men might enjoy that prospect. I thought that'd get a better laugh, okay. But a relationship with God, made possible through his giving us the gift of his son, Jesus. Jesus is the perfect gift. He's just what we need. We've sung so many things about him tonight, about the things that he came to do and the things that he does do. But here's a few things. We need Jesus to find hope in a difficult situation. We need Jesus to bring light into a dark world. More at the moment than for a long time that I can remember. We need Jesus to bring peace to anxious, worried, and fearful minds and hearts. We need Jesus to bring love to turn away hate. We need Jesus to bring joy into lives filled with sadness. And we need Jesus to bring certainty into the instability we see all around us. Most of all, we need Jesus to find forgiveness for the things we've done wrong. And in turn, to find friendship with God who sent him to show us all these things. And no matter how hard you look in Tesco, or John Lewis, or Waitrose, or Lidl, or Aldi, or anywhere else, Co-op, you won't find these things anywhere else. You will only find these things with Jesus. And these are things that last. Do you remember the excitement of, oh, I hope I get that present I asked for at Christmas, only to find it needs batteries and you haven't got any? Or to find that after a couple of goes with it, it breaks and you can't fix it? That's not the case with the gift of Jesus that God sends to us. He doesn't break, he doesn't wear out, he never lets us down. So what makes Christmas is the fact that, as John's gospel says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Something I've said here a few times over the years is, are you part of this world? Are you in this world? Or are you all a bunch of aliens? You're all in this world. You're all part of the world. God loves the whole world and everything in it, which means God loves you so much that he sent Jesus for you. So that when you believe in him, you will not perish, but will have eternal life. And then, contrary to what some people like us to think, John goes on, he says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Not to condemn, but to save. Not to spread hate, but to spread love. Not to cause arguments, but to be peacemakers. To shine light into this world and where we live. And it's Jesus who makes it Christmas. It's Jesus who brings the joy, the light, and the love of God into our homes, our families, our communities and our hearts. And because Jesus came at Christmas and born in that incredible way as a baby, it means we know that he understands exactly what we've gone through. Because all of us, at one point or another, we were babies. Some of us may still be, even though we're a bit older than that. But all of us were babies. He knows what we go through at birth. He knows what it's like to live in poverty, born into that stable, into that manger, as our very accurate police report gave us earlier on. He knows what it's like to be a refugee, because his family had to flee from King Herod, who decided he was going to murder all the young boys under 2 years old because he did not want Jesus to be his competitor. Jesus knows what it's like to grow up, to struggle. He knows what it's like to be loved. He knows what it's like to be hated. He knows what it's like to have faithful friends around him. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to go hungry, to go thirsty, to be sad, to be happy. This is the great gift of Christmas to us. God saying, I know. And God saying, I love you. And God saying, I'm with you and I'm for you. That's what the angels were on about when they said, we bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And so here at Biggersway Baptist Church, we want to encourage you to find out what truly makes it Christmas, to slightly change John Lewis, to find the gift, the gift. Christmas as we celebrate it may not be perfect. There may still be rows. There may still be embarrassing things going on. But the gift of Jesus is perfect. And God offers him to each and every one of us. And he's the one gift we can rely on and call upon all through the year. And in that sense, as Little say, every day has a lot to learn from Christmas. So why not see the perfect gift God offers you in Jesus? Receive that gift, accept that gift, open it, and let it make all the difference in the world to you. And that's why 2,000 years on from that night in Bethlehem, we still do things like this. We still celebrate his birth. Because he is the greatest gift that any of us can ever receive. And to help us think about that, our music group are going to sing a song to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're coming towards the end of our service now. There's just a couple of things that I'd like to say is that this isn't just a story for us to listen to once a year. This is an invitation to a relationship with the living God through Jesus coming at Bethlehem. And it's an invitation that God makes to each and every one of us. And we would be amiss, we wouldn't be doing our job properly if we didn't give you that opportunity to at least consider in more depth what it means to actually have that relationship with God through Jesus. So here at BB Church, we have an Alpha course in the spring. Details will come up on our website. And the Alpha course takes us through the basic reasons why we believe Jesus is who the Bible says he is and why it's the best thing we can do to have a relationship with him. We've also got lots of these little books called Why Christmas knocking around the place, which are free for you to take away. Just give a little bit more detail into the background and the implications of the Christmas story. And of course, anyone who's been involved tonight would be really happy to talk to anybody about what it means to us to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, to have accepted that gift and to know the joy of that gift every single day. So I'm just going to lead us in a prayer now, and part of that will be a prayer saying, yes, I want to accept that present. And if you do, you just have to do nothing apart from say amen at the end, and then just perhaps tell someone who you know is already a believer in Jesus so they can help you with the next steps. Father God, we thank you for the wonder and the joy and the hope of Christmas. We thank you for the fact that at Christmas, Jesus, your Son, took on flesh and became one of us. And thank you that if there was only one of us here, he would still have done that to show us your love. And thank you that throughout the centuries, that message of love has gone out and has changed and transformed lives, communities, even nations, as people have realized the power of your love, knowing that God is with us and God is for us because of Bethlehem. Tonight, Father God, I want to accept your great Christmas gift. I want to say yes to your love in Jesus. I want to bow the knee at the manger and worship him, knowing he is my Lord, my God, and my Saviour. And in him, I can know forgiveness of my sins, but also hope for a future and joy for the here and now. Father, as I come, I bow before you and ask that you would fill me with your love that first came down at Christmas, that my life might be changed like the shepherds' lives were changed, like Mary and Joseph's lives were changed, like the wise men's lives and so many others were changed. I choose to believe that this is more than a story, that this is something that is life-changing, life-giving, and the most important decision I could ever make. And as I come to you, I ask that you'd fill me with your peace and your joy in believing, that I might know that that gift of that first Christmas is now mine too. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Going to sing our final carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And then, as I said at the start, teas and coffees, you're welcome to join us through there. Mince pies, biscuits for those who don't like mince pies, and lots of good conversation. Thank you, Helen. So may we go from this place seeing clearly the light of the love of God in Jesus shining into our lives, into our community. May we go from this place filled with the love of God in Jesus, that love that conquers death, that love that forgives all sins. And may we go from this place with the joy. The joy that comes as we remember the birth of a child, but the joy that comes remembering who that child is and what it is he has done for us and with us and in us. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest on us all this Christmas time and every day until Jesus returns. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. We'd love to see you on Christmas Day at 10 o'clock. Teas and coffees out through there. Please do go and help yourself.